The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, 5,000 hole-in-heart cases diagnosed in Ghana. National Energy Conservation Guide launched in Accra. ICU threatened strike next month if Tier 2 pension contributions of members are not released. President Mahama begins 4-day working visit to Norway. And Haitians demonstrate against delay in legislative and municipal elections. First, the summary with Doreen Ampofu.
The director of the National Cardiothoracic Center at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, Dr. Lawrence Srebo, has disclosed that there are about 5,000 cases of falling heart patients in Ghana. He said out of 100 beds, one or two are born with falling heart. The Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU, says it will lay down its tools by the end of next month if government fails to release the Tier 2 contribution of its members. The General Secretary of the Union, Solomon Kute, called on government to reason with workers to reach a consensus. President Mahama will today begin a 4-day visit to Norway. He will be hosted by Prime Minister Erna Solberg. The two leaders will begin with a bilateral meeting and a joint press conference. And a delay in the legislative and municipal elections in Haiti has triggered protests in the capital, Port-au-Prince. The polls are years overdue and were scheduled for last Sunday. Protesters lit piles of food before marching to a wealthy neighborhood where riot police guarded hotels, shops, and the elections office.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. Averagely, there are 5,000 cases of hole-in-heart patients in Ghana. Speaking at a media briefing on the 2014 Save the Heart concert in Accra, the director of the National Cardiothoracic Center at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, Dr. Lawrence Srebo, noted that out of 100 births, one or two are born with hole-in-heart. Dr. Srebo hoped this year's concert will increase awareness on the disease and attract more people to support patients with hole-in-heart. Here's a report by Aurelia Kande and Salom Tali.
The Save the Heart concert is an initiative of the Ghanaian high life musician Kwabena Kwabena 2 years ago. The concert is organized to create awareness about the hole-in-heart disease and also raise funds to support patients who are unable to pay for surgical operations. The director of the National Cardiothoracic Center at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, Dr. Lawrence Srebo, said hole-in-heart patients deserve to live and contribute their quota to national development.
This year, we want it to be bigger so we can help more patients, only realizing the money for them, but also to raise the awareness that we have these people, they need help, and people can come to their aid. And also, we are able to let somebody have a normal life expectancy and a better quality of life.
On the strike by organized labor, Dr. Srebo assured the public that the center will continue to work, although it identifies its reasons for the strike. Ghanaian high life musician Kwabena Kwabena said he was moved by the number of children who are diagnosed of hole in heart. Besides this, the amount of money required for surgery is so huge that lots of patients are unable to pay for and are put on waiting lists until help comes for them to have their surgeries done.
The knowledge that out of every 100 kids born, one is a hole in heart, that was frightening enough. And looking at the numbers, asking how much is needed to assess one surgery, we realized that the Ghana Heart Foundation and the various societies and individuals help. The help is coming though, but we still need more help because we are so many people on the waiting list, even as the donation is coming in. The Ghana Heart Foundation just, I think, bears half of the cost of the surgery, but the remaining half has to be raised by the patients and the parents. You realize that it's quite a problem. So that alone is a motivation, and I wanted to help. I want to do this every year as my little contribution to my country.
The public can also support these patients by testing SAFE to 1952 to donate 1 Ghana cedis on all networks.
That was a report by Aurelia Kande and Salom Tali.
A national energy conservation guide has been launched in Accra with a call on Ghanaians to conserve energy, since that is the best means of making power available for all economic activities. The book, Your Guide to Energy Conservation, targets students of senior high schools to be agents in the conservation of energy. Joyce Jechi and Benedicta Bintum have filed this report.
The Energy Conservation Book, Your Guide to Energy Conservation, Save Energy, Save Money, Save the Environment, was produced by the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum. It is to create awareness among the youth on issues of energy conservation. The content of the book includes how electricity is generated, things to do to save energy, and other energy sources. The launch of a national energy campaign has become necessary following the energy crisis the nation is going through. The Minister for Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakosibua, who launched the book at Laboni Secondary School in Accra, said educating the youth on the importance of energy conservation will go a long way to influence behavioral change at all levels of society. He said while energy shortages and growing demand can be addressed by adding generation capacity, energy efficiency and conservation present the best means of making energy available for economic activities.
Putting the good vibe that when you teach the child the right upbringing, they will not depart from us. We believe that the book we are launching today and the effort at energy conservation can only be championed by students, especially you. We want you to begin today to become the champions of educating every Ghanaian in your parents on the need to use energy wisely. That is the only way that we can save the energy that we critically need and protect our environment.
Mr. Amakosibua said the supply of energy is associated with high infrastructural investment, high operational costs, and environmental consequences, especially if the source is fossil fuel. As such, it is important for Ghanaians to conserve energy.
The report was filed by Joyce Jechi and Benedict Adington.
Meanwhile, the Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakosibua, says there is no shortage of liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, in the system. He said there might be shortages at some stations due to the cash and carry system of payment. Mr. Kosibua was reacting to reports of shortage of LPG in some parts of the country. Another report by Joyce Jichi.
Energy in all its forms is very useful and is the most important prerequisite for national development. Energy is used in almost all economic activities and livelihoods. In the form of petroleum fuel, energy is used for transportation, cooking, and heating for use in industry. Wood fuel is the most used form of energy for cooking in the country. This is used by about 80% of the population, which is a contributory factor to forest degradation. Measures are being put in place to reverse the trend by encouraging the use of liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, to reduce the dependence on wood fuel. The promotion of LPG is also to address the difficulties facing the girl child in getting firewood before going to school, and also save women time in the kitchen. The government is promoting LPG in rural areas by distributing cylinders to some communities throughout the country. But this effort is defeated every now and then by the shortage of LPG in some parts of the country. 2 weeks ago, the product was in short supply in the whole of Madina, Adenta and its environs, all the way to Abuja. Last week, lots of people also complained of the shortage of LPG at Labadi, Burma Camp and other stations. However, the Minister for Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakosibua, said there is no shortage of LPG in the system.
We have enough reserves. They're doing something called cash and carry because of the credit challenges that the ONCs are having with stations. So a specific station will have shortages because the BDC or the place where he normally buys, he will say that if you don't pay this amount, I won't give you the product. And so it creates those artificial shortages. We've done a lot to make sure we increase capacity, not only in Tema, but also in Takoradi. So
that was the Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakosibua, in that report by Joyce Jichi.
Forest reserves in the western region are depleting at a fast rate due to illegal chainsaw operation, according to the leader of a vigilante group, George Yao Hene. For some time now, massive illegal chainsaw lumbering has been going on in the Moru and Tanosushen Forest Reserve in the Shifuyoso district. He alleged that large tracts of forest reserves have been illegally exploited with the connivance of some forestry officials. Mr. Hines said the survival and protection of forest reserves should be of great concern to all, especially the youth who are the future beneficiaries. He called for strict enforcement of laws protecting the forest, adding that if such illegal chains operators and their accomplices are arrested and prosecuted, it will deter others from flouting the laws. Mr. Hene called for effective ways to enhance the participation of French forest communities in sustainable management of the nation's forests.
The chairman of the National Media Commission, Cabral Buyamihia says Ghana needs strong, visionary and effective leadership to solve the challenges facing the country. He said leadership must do away with partisan politics, which has been the bane of the country. Mr. Amihia made the comments at this year's Institute of Public Relations lecture in Accra. He said leadership must be committed to fight corruption by giving stiffer punishment to corrupt officials. Here's a report by Antoinette Abba.
Topic: a nation at the crossroads, using effective public relations to achieve the national agenda. Mr. Amihia said the country has to reach a crucial point and needs to take decisions that will positively affect its development. On the country's decision to turn to the IMF for a bailout, Mr. Amihia said it is important to learn from past mistakes so that current leaders do not commit the same unpardonable mistakes of the past. He said it is time the country developed an independent national development agenda that will advance the progress of the nation, irrespective of which political party is in power.
It has been said that those who refuse to learn from history sadly repeat avoidable mistakes of the past. We have reached yet another crossroad with the International Monetary Fund. Call it a bailout or homegrown policy. It is a journey that we must undertake together, remembering the old time saying that we are, after all, one nation, one people with a common destiny. This nation is indeed very polarized and divided. One of the troubles with Ghana is the menace of tribalism and the growing divisions fueled by politics and the winner-take-all syndrome, a situation which should lead us to honestly interrogate whether there is indeed a national agenda that all Ghanaians are committed to.
Mr. Amihia said poor communication leads to misunderstanding and mistrust, a major PR problem which institutions, individuals and governments have to contend with. He said issues such as the strike by organized labor, World Cup fiasco, Swaraj commissioners accommodation issue could have been avoided if effective strategies and principles were adopted.
But what we should accept, even at this stage, as a nation, is that whilst there may exist other factors for our problems, reliance on PR, effective PR, can prevent some of the headaches and troubles we face. Making the headlines since last week has been a strike action by 12 unions, including teachers, nurses and doctors, over opposition to what they consider government interference in the management of the second tier of their pension scheme. Politics in this country is done largely with total dismissal of what effective PR can do for parties and politicians. PR as a science, art and profession that seeks to do good for institutions and its public is relegated to the background.
Citing the Ethiopian and Rwandan success stories, Mr. Amihia said through effective and committed leaders, those countries have made significant strides in the last 10 years. He said Ghana can also do same, provided leadership recognizes that they need to implement effective policies which will restore the image of the country and do away with tribalism, winner-takes-all, and excessive media propaganda.
That report is by Antoinette Sabah.
Technical and vocational education is undergoing reforms in the country as part of the 6 subject areas have been identified for implementation in selected technical and vocational training institutions. They include electrical engineering, technology, electronics engineering, motor vehicle engineering, hospitality and catering management. The 6 subject areas would make technical and vocational students more competent and useful on the job market. Anamo Mari and Deniyaiti have more.
Competence-based technical educators have complained about difficulties that technical and vocational students face due to lack of competence. The competence-based training CBT curriculum development, which aims at the practical aspect of technical and vocational education, therefore seeks to promote the transmission of knowledge skills and best prepare learners to perform effectively at the workplace. Director of MKA Amwako Company Limited, Kofi Kwatin, said CBT was developed as part of technical and vocational education training reform in Ghana to generate and validate occupational standards. He throws more light on the CBT curriculum development program.
The traditional curriculum we've been using has not brought out the competencies we want to see from graduates from various technical and vocational institutions. One area that we feel we are lacking behind is hands-on, practical approach in our technical training. Graduates from our vocational and technical institutions, when they go to the field, they are found wanting in their expertise.
The Executive Director of the Council of Technical and Vocational Education Training, CORTVET, Sylvester Deh, believes the CBT document will help produce competent engineers and technologists who will stimulate industrial growth and economic progress.
That reports was Robin Anamo Mari and Emilia Aiti.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: 5,000 hole in heart cases diagnosed in Ghana. National Energy Conservation Guide launched in Accra. ICU threatens strike next month if Tier 2 pension contributions of members are not released. President Mahama begins 4-day working visit to Norway. And Haitians demonstrate against delay in legislative and municipal elections. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The General Secretary of the Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU, Solomon Kote, says the union will lay down its tools by the end of next month if government does not release the Tier 2 contribution of its members. Mr. Kote, who was speaking on Behind the News, called on government to reason with workers to reach a consensus.
We are in total support, that's the ICU, to the forum, that is the four group that have come under this pressure on government. The issue is that we have the Act 7 It provisions make it participatory when it comes to investment in the second tier. This is what our brothers in the four group have been denied by government trying to impose upon them an investor that their workers are not happy with. They have set up their structures and they are hoping that government would start busy with them and allow them to take the investment to where they think is best for them.
But are all members of the ICU on strike? Because we hear some of your members have failed to heed your calls.
The ICU is not on strike. The ICU is giving solidarity to the public sector unions. If government will reason with the workers in the public sector, they will amicably agree and say, okay, release our money to this particular custodian, and then the fund manager comes in, and then the classes are established, and then their fund will be run.
So if I understood you clearly, you are not on strike, but you are lending support.
Yes, we are giving solidarity. We are also saying that if by the end of November, government feels also to release our two-year contribution that is staying at the Bank of Ghana through the NGRA, we'll equally also advise ourselves, because people are getting ready to retire, and when you retire, the second tier is supposed to be a lump sum that should be paid to you without any questioning, without any hassle. The way it is now, people have not seen their contribution, they haven't seen their interest that has accrued, and they don't even know where, which fund manager are they going to approach to collect their money.
Mr. Kote said the union has been dialoguing with government but has not reached any consensus. He said they are trusting government to deliver on its promise.
We have been dialoguing, we have written to the governor of Bank of Ghana, and you know on certain terms he has told the ICU that it is the MPRA that is supposed to come and make the demand for your money on your behalf, your money is ready. We are talking to the MPRA that is saying that they are now reconciling their bio data with SMIT and get us the proper transaction on each and every contributor's fund. So we are just taking confidence in the fact that what the governor have told us and what the NPR is also saying, that they are reconciling with the Smith, it will be so. And at the end of the month of November, if we don't get...
General Secretary, ICU, Solomon Kote.
A Kumasi High Court presided over by Justice Jacob Boone has granted the NDC and its aggrieved member Linus Ndulana their request for an out-of-court settlement of their disagreements over a directive by the National Executive of the party restraining any member who has never held any position in the party or held any office in governments formed by the party from contesting in the regional and national elections. Justice Boone told the two fielding parties to return to the court at a later date with a settlement agreement for the substantive case to be struck out. The court's decision followed an application by the legal team of the NDC for an out-of-court settlement of the matter, which was consented to by counsel for the complainant. Later, in an interview with journalists, the general secretary of the NDC, Johnson Esiedinkitia, explained that the national executives took their decision for an out-of-court settlement after acknowledging the fact that the new election guideline does not have a legal basis within the NDC's constitution, for which reason it has been reversed.
The former district chief executive for Afana South and the Ashanti region, Gabriel Bema, has been renominated by President John Dramani Mahama. This was revealed in a press statement issued by the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development. Gabriel Bema was dismissed after he angrily chided health workers in his district for a comment made by an unidentified person. Mr. Bema, after telling the workers off, stormed out of a derba, which was attended by some chiefs in the area. A video recording of the incident went viral, igniting national outrage, with many describing his actions as disrespectful. He was later investigated by the government and pardoned, but was subsequently sacked after he asked for royalties for popularizing cheer. There have been calls for the former DCE to be reinstated by some residents in his district who described his punishment as harsh.
An Accra Circuit Court has for the second time remanded the former executive director of the National Service Scheme, Alhaji Al-Hassan Mohammed Imuru, in custody. The court, presided over by Francis Ubi, upheld the prosecution's prayer to remand the accused person to enable further investigations into the massive financial malfeasance in the operations of the scheme. The court obliged the prosecution and remanded Alhaji Imuru in custody to reappear on the 3rd of next month. It will at its next sitting take a definite decision regarding the bill application advanced by counsel for Alhaji Imuru. Following investigations conducted by the BNI, 22,612 ghost names were allegedly generated at the headquarters of the National Service Scheme. This is said to have resulted in the loss of 7.9 million cedis in July alone. Following the revelation, Alhaji Imuru was dragged to court for allegedly stealing millions of cedis belonging to the state. According to the prosecution, Alhaji Imuru, from the month of September 2013 to July this year, stole 86.9 million cedis from state coffers. He has, however, denied the offense.
President Mahama begins a four-day visit to Norway today. The visit, which is at the invitation of the Prime Minister, Erna Solberg, will begin with a bilateral meeting and a joint press conference by the two leaders. A statement from the Flagstaff House said King Harald of Norway would also hold private meetings with President Mahama and host his delegation to a luncheon in the Royal Palace. Mr. Mahama, who is also the chairman of ECOWAS, has been in Denmark and the United Kingdom on similar official visits. While in Norway, Mr. Mahama will also be the guest of the President of the Norwegian Parliament, hold bilateral and investment promotion meetings with Norwegian government officials and business executives, and visit the Norwegian city of Stavanger, where he will tour some petroleum-related facilities and review the operations of the Norway Petroleum Directorate and the Petroleum Safety Authority. The President will also deliver the keynote address at this year's Norwegian African Business Association Summit on mapping the African infrastructure landscape, during which he will showcase Ghana's success story and the need for the international business community to support and encourage that development. President Mahama will also meet and interact with the Ghanaian community in Oslo.
We are back after this break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. Thousands of Haitians have marched in the capital, Port-au-Prince, to protest against a delay in the country's legislative and municipal elections. The polls are years overdue and were scheduled for last Sunday. They were postponed because of an ongoing stalemate between government and a group of opposition senators over an electoral law. Haiti is the poorest country in the region and is still struggling to recover from a 2010 earthquake. Protesters lit piles of food before marching to a wealthy hillside neighborhood where riots police guarded hotels, shops, and the elections office.
Al-Qaeda-affiliated militants and other Syrian rebel groups have attacked the government-held city of Idlib, seizing several official buildings. The Nusra Front said its fighters killed dozens of government soldiers before being pushed back. The Syrian government has maintained control of Idlib city in the country's northwest since it was taken over by rebel groups in 2012. Syria's civil war, which is in its fourth year, has claimed more than 200,000 lives. Meanwhile, a video recording believed to have been produced by Islamic State militants purports to show the abducted British journalist John Cantley in the Syrian Kurdish town of Kobani. In the video, Mr. Cantley refers to events from the last fortnight, including a U.S. airdrop of weapons and ammunition intended for Kurdish fighters in Kobani.
U.S. officials will actively monitor colleagues who have treated Ebola patients in West Africa under new rules. Updated guidelines issued yesterday will require most medics to be checked for symptoms for 21 days, but will not require quarantine or isolation. The announcement comes after a nurse who complained about her quarantine in New Jersey was allowed to return home. Defying the new guidelines, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie defended the mandatory isolation. Her stance conflicts with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who earlier said those seeking to help in infected areas should not be subjected to restrictions that are not based on science.
Now to end the news, the main points again. Records at the National Cardiothoracic Center at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital show that 5,000 cases of hole in heart are recorded averagely in Ghana. The director of the center, Dr. Lawrence Rebwo, said out of 100 births, one or two are born with hole in heart, adding that serious awareness of the disease is crucial. The Industrial and Commercial Workers Union has threatened to stay off work by the end of next month if government fails to release the Tier 2 contribution of its members. The General Secretary of the Union, Solomon Kote, said the only way out is for government to reason with workers to reach a consensus. President Mahama will be in Norway today to begin a four-day visit to that country. On the invitation of Prime Minister Erna Solberg, the two leaders will begin with a bilateral meeting and a joint press conference. Haitians have staged a protest against a delay in the legislative and municipal elections. Protesters lit piles of wood in the capital, Port-au-Prince. The polls are years overdue and were scheduled for last Sunday. The news was presented.